WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The United Auto Workers Union says it will expand its strike against the big three automakers if there isn't, quote, serious progress in negotiations by noon Friday. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Wayne, Michigan.
They've already walked out of three plants, one belonging to each of the big three automakers, Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler parent Stellantis. We understand that negotiations, conversations are continuing between the big three and the UAW. However, at this point, none of the automakers has presented a cohesive new deal.
Hollywood writers are scheduled to meet with studios on Wednesday in their latest attempt to come to terms and end their strike. Meg James covers the entertainment industry for the Los Angeles Times.
The writers have really held out longer than people than expected. They have displayed remarkable solidarity.
The family of a black high school student in Texas is considering suing because the boy was suspended for his hairstyle despite a state law banning racial discrimination based on hairstyles. More from CBS's Allison Keys.
Daryl George has already served more than 2 weeks of in-school suspensions over his twisted locks. And when he arrived this week with the same hairstyle, he was suspended again. His mother, Jerisha, says the Houston area school is
basically picking with my child.
The school says his hairstyle, which he's been growing for 10 years, violates its dress code because of its length when let down. But his mother says
his hair is always up.
In Philadelphia, Temple University's acting president has died after falling ill on stage during a memorial service. Joanne Epps was 72. KYW-TV reporter Aziza Schuler has more.
University Provost Gregory Mandel said it'll take time for the Temple community to heal from this tragic loss.
She's been an extraordinary leader. She's been a mentor for me and many others. She's been a close confidant. The university has a spectacularly strong community, and we will get through this together.
The university's board of trustees will meet to discuss how they plan to move forward.
Commute times are starting to increase, but Associated Press census reporter Mike Schneider says commuting is getting greener.
You also saw an increase in the percent of people who are carpooling from 2021 to 2022.
The FTC has hundreds of millions of dollars it wants to give you and tens of millions of your fellow gamers. The $245 million comes from a settlement with the maker of the popular Fortnite video game, which the FTC says violated children's privacy and tricked players into making unintended purchases. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the thing for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this Tuesday, September 19th, my last Tuesday until baby comes.
Yes.
We got both Jane here. We got Greg here.
Hello.
Because this whole week, we're going to do the three of us as a transition to what everyone can expect for the next 3 months. Of you two being at the helm.
Exactly. I will be where you are.
Yeah.
Starting on Monday.
In our new studio.
In our
new, well.
Newish.
Same location.
Revamped.
Upgraded digs.
Yes. Our upgraded digs. And Greg will be running the board. And so I will be acting as you with a lineup of co-hosts that will change from day to day. But Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show will join on Mondays. Dominic Salvia from Devils will join me Tuesdays. Greg and I on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Carol Kane, the one and only and my dear friend, is going to be joining me on Fridays.
I'm so interested to see how the show is slightly different depending on who the co-host is. How the topics will change.
Yep.
How the tone might change, how the jokes might change.
Oh, the jokes are going to get so much sweeter.
Are they?
Oh. No, I would never withhold the funniness from you, Kristen. In this time of...
I'd hold that against you.
Babyosity.
Babyosity?
Babyosity. I like it.
Well, speaking of babyosity, at the top of the next hour, I'm so excited. I feel like this is a very topical... It's our article. It's a very popular article right now that's from the New Yorker. Basically talking about why can't our friendship survive your baby?
And it's a great subject.
As two people... right now, all three of us are childless. You two are two people who've chosen never to have kids. And I think probably are very much on one side of this article as far as experiencing changed or lost friendships over the years. I'm about to be on the other side of it, of friendships that change once you have a kid. And we would love to hear from you. This is at 11. Have you lost friends over being the people who had kids, or have you lost friends once they had kids? So I'm really excited to dive into that
too.
With you guys, because I think it's timely, to
it
say
is.
The least. At least
it
you
is.
Guys can't get rid of me, though, because we work together. So even if you don't want to be my friend anymore, you still got to see me once I come back from maternity leave.
This is just a slow burn goodbye on us.
I sent it to friends last night. They're like, wait, are you breaking up with us already?
It's a pre-breakup warning.
So we're going to talk about that at 11. But this morning, first... Happy National Voter Registration Day, guys.
Big
Heck
day.
Yeah.
Big day.
Yes. So the election may be more than, the presidential election may be more than a year away, but it's never too early to register to vote or to check your registration. So head over to myvote.wi.gov today, check your registration, maybe encourage someone else to vote.
Do we know if you're a 17-year-old who's going to turn 18 before the November election, is that something they can do now?
That's a great question.
I believe you can vote. Let me look into that. I will look that up.
Just to register. I'm not saying they can vote, but can they register now?
So they'll already be registered once they turn 18.
Exactly.
That I will look up for you. And here's an important piece of information from my time when I worked in the Obama campaign, which was actually a disenfranchise move. If you are currently on probation, papers, as they say, you got out of jail and you are on papers. If you are coming off of papers before an election, you can still register to vote. Your vote will be counted. You can vote even if you're on papers, as long as once you come off, it is before an election. If you listen to this, tell someone you know. If you are on papers, know that. It's your right.
There you go. So happy National Voter Registration Day. We'll get through. If you know of any events that are happening today, feel free to let us know and we will announce them on air. 844-967-2789, because I know there's a lot happening in Milwaukee, but would love to hear more that's happening throughout the state to celebrate and try to get people to register to vote. All right. But the topic I wanted to start with today is basically the Wisconsin's big news from yesterday. After months of what's the holdup, the Wisconsin GOP finally announced a proposal for what their proposal is to keep the Brewers in Wisconsin. And it's a lot more expensive than what, it's basically double the cost of what Tony Evers' plan was. If you'll remember, Evers proposed giving the stadium district $290 million in state funding that was going to come from our state's surplus, which we still have because it was not all spent in the last budget. But now, this deal, which is not, this is just a proposal. It's not been voted on. There's still room to negotiate it. It would still have to be signed. It would still have to pass and be signed by Tony Evers. But it's a $700 million proposal. So it's more than double.
Yeah.
To extend the Milwaukee Brewers at least until 2050, with the bulk of the funding coming from the state and local taxes, including, and then it would be $100 million from the team. So it's $600 million from the state and local, and it's $100 million from the team. And so the state's contribution would be covered by income taxes collected by collected from the Brewers and visiting teams, because that is one thing I think is interesting. And so you, when players are visiting here, they get taxed prorated like for whatever they make the day or the 3 days that they're here playing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the taxes do come from the visiting players. So that would generate about $643.6 million over the length of the lease. But here's the thing that I think most people are having issue with. It double taxes people who live in the city of Milwaukee, because the only county or city that is on the hook for this to contribute is the city of Milwaukee and the county. So the five counties that were doing this, the stadium tax before, it's just Milwaukee County. Yeah. So they get hit twice, and it would be $7.5 million each year until 2050 when the lease expires, which in total would be $202 million that they'd have to cover.
Because Milwaukee County's fiscal problems are completely taken care of.
Yeah. So basically that would come from annual state shared revenue payments. And I have not done the math to know how much that is takes out of the shared revenue that just went up.
Yeah. After many, many, many years.
After many years. And I don't know why. Because Greg, you don't live in Milwaukee County.
No, I live in Kenosha County.
Do you go to Brewers games?
Heck yeah.
Yes, you do.
I do. I try to go to at least 10 a season.
I would imagine a lot of people who live in Waukesha County, where we're sitting right now, also enjoy Brewers games. And it seems a little weird to me that someone who lives in Waukesha is going to pay the same amount for this stadium as someone in Vilas County or Rhinelander.
Sure.
And so that is, it feels like they kind of got off the hook. But I want to hear from you. If you've looked at this deal, or based off of what we just summarized, who wins in this scenario? Who are the winners? Who are the losers in this GOP deal? 844-967-2789. Jane, what do you think?
Well, the Brewers are the winners.
Yeah.
When I saw this, that they're only paying $100 million, which should not be a surprise, but is immensely disappointing to me.
Because it's basically their current annual rent is $1.2 million, and this would increase it to $3.3 million, which
is not nothing.
Is not nothing.
I understand that. But again, they have more money than that.
And this is what's kind of tricky. So as I was driving in and I was thinking about this, and because I, you know, the numbers are being run of, and it's, you know, numbers are numbers. And so sometimes it's hard to keep it straight.
Yep.
But, you know, money coming in, money coming out at the local level, at the county level, at the state level, what is the money coming in from keeping the Brewers? What is the money going out to pay for these renovations? And the one number that I feel like we don't know is the profit margin of the Brewers. Like, we know revenue, right? Looked up revenue.
Yeah, we looked up revenue, and in 2022, they made $295 million. And I told you that from 2001 to last year, with the exception of 2020 and 2021, it's been a steady, consistent increase.
But as we know, that's revenue. They have to pay for salaries and of the players, salaries of the staff. Like, there is
health insurance.
Yes. They have an operating budget of about 23 to 25 million, but that doesn't include payroll.
So, but it seems hard to find is how much profit they actually are getting. And so how good of a deal is that for them that their rent only goes from 1.2 to 3.3 million? They still get a new stadium. They don't have to go through the rigmarole of moving, even though they kind of act like it's such a favor for them to stay.
Well, they always
do. Because we're such a small market.
No one else would want to come here.
If you don't give us what we want, we leave.
Exactly.
And we'll cry and wipe our tears off with our dollar bills.
Yeah. Why won't you just let us stay?
Yeah. It's the equivalent of saying, we're not mad. We're just disappointed. We don't want to leave.
So we would love to hear from you of what you think about this bill. Granted, this is not signed, sealed, and delivered yet. No. This is just a proposal. But compared to the original deal that may be DOA, but the deal that Tony Evers originally proposed of $290 million from the surplus, that would also be put into a fund that could accrue interest, that interest could then pay for future renovations, versus something that puts the state and then the city and county of Milwaukee predominantly on the hook for this. Better deal? Who wins? Who loses? 844-967-2789. Greg, do you have, you had strong thoughts about this when we talked about it previously.
I had strong thoughts, but we have about a minute and a half left. So, we could probably talk about when we come back from the break.
Okay.
But I had strong thoughts, got more information, changed some ideas, but I still have strong thoughts, especially now on Robin Voss's plan versus a more fiscally responsible plan. That's what we can go in the next segment.
All right. Good tease. And then coming at the bottom of the hour at 10:30, Dan Schaefer is going to be here to recombobulate. We'll also ask his opinion on the Brewers. But then that special session comes tomorrow. What are the chances? What are the odds? Oh. Gavel in, gavel out? Any bet takers? Anyone?
8 seconds.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly clear in the overnight. 57 degrees by sunrise. Light southeast winds. That sets us up for a sunny Wednesday. 84 degrees. South to southwest wind developing. By Wednesday night, could have some showers and thunderstorms. The low 59. It's 60 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board and Jane Matinair as my co-host for the week.
Yay!
New configuration as we wind down my last couple days before I let you guys take over my baby. My first baby.
Your first baby, exactly. This baby has a little more emotional connection.
I would think so. Yeah. Although I have been warned that the first couple months... You love them a lot. They don't give you a lot back besides poop.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
There's not a lot of...
Mama.
Yes, there's a lot of just, I'm crying. I need to be fed. I need
Why
to be
won't you help me?
Please let me sleep. And it's like not a lot of personality coming back at you yet.
I have a feeling between the Samson Brime, collaboration here.
I like that term.
Thank
I like
you.
That we've collaborated.
I was trying to think of a really non-gross term, but the collaboration between the Samson Bride. There it is. you're gonna get a charming outgoing baby at a very young age. They're gonna be outgoing with their eyes and whatever.
Could you imagine if we birthed an introvert?
That would be wild.
Wouldn't that be wild?
That would be wild.
Mom, this kid is shy. And
Mom, I have just, something to
like,
tell
I don't
you.
Like people.
I'm an introvert. I still love you. It'll be hard.
Speaking of that, previewing ahead to Friday, Michael Sampson, my husband, was actually going to be here. We're going to do the same thing we did right before we got married and take your calls on advice. It's solicited advice.
Asking for your input.
Me asking for your input right. As the audience of advice to first-time parents before we head out into the wilderness. So that's coming up on Friday. If you want to look forward to that, we would
share
love to hear
your
from
wisdom.
You.
Yeah. Share your wisdom.
I can't wait to see him.
I know. He was like an hour. I was like, you did 2 hours with me before. He's like, that's a long time.
Oh. That's nothing, Samson. Come on.
I know. He'll be fine. All right. Well, back to the topic at hand. We're talking about the GOP's proposal for the Brewers stadium renovations and what they think is the best solution to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, which includes, it's a $700 million deal overall until the year 2050.
Twice as expensive as the one proposed by Governor Evers.
And comes from tax dollars instead of the surplus, which technically is tax dollars, but it's kind of money that is sitting there right now that has not been plugged for anything right. yet yeah. because of what happened during the budget process earlier this year. And so we're asking you, who are the winners and the losers if this deal were to move forward? Again, it still needs to be voted on. There's a chance that there's not any Democrat votes on this.
Right.
There's also a chance that there's no fiscal conservative votes on this either.
Well, I was going to say, is this not wildly irresponsible for Popcorn King Robin Voss to put forward a bill like this that's twice as expensive as the original one?
I disagree. I think he is trying to get all the wins he can right now. And for him, wins aren't legislation going through. They're just these announcements because they get the attention he wants. I mean, last week it was all about the maps. He said, we're going to do this thing with the maps, and people were losing their minds saying how amazing it was. You know, like, he's just looking for attention. Well, we were talking about before slipping in very nefarious pieces of legislation under our noses that, while getting reported, aren't as sexy as baseball and fair maps and lawsuits.
I don't know. I feel like if I were to make a TikTok about this other headline right now. So the other thing that we're talking about that maybe got pushed down below the Brewers announcement yesterday is Robin Voss is trying to block 34,000 UW employees from getting their pay raises until every single DEI position at every UW campus is fired.
And DEI, for them not knowing?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
There it is.
And why does Robin Voss have the power to institute what policies our university systems have?
Well, because it's a publicly
funded institution.
And it's the same reason, because they already cut $32 million from the UW budget. What got line item vetoed by Evers was that it had to come from DEI. And so now the next move is, well, no one gets a raise then until this program is gone. But so that slipped under the radar.
But guess what, everybody?
We're highlighting it.
But guess what? The Popcorn King saved baseball at a deal twice the price.
And while sticking it to Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, yeah. and Milwaukee County.
Which is everything he wants.
Yeah.
Everything
After
he wants.
After the wins of shared revenue and the sales tax.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that this... The money that would come out of our shared revenue to both for the county and for the state or for the city negates it, but it is a chunk, right?
Oh, yes.
Like $7.5 million every year is a lot of other things that could get paid for. In fact, John Johnson, who's been on the show before, and he has actually been in the rounds right now because he has thoughts on the amendments that were made to the MAPS legislation that was passed last Thursday. But he tweeted out last night, the amount of money the Wisconsin legislature is demanding the city of Milwaukee give the Brewers could replace roughly 250 lead service lines each year.
Yep.
I mean, wow.
You could go down the line of all the things you could do to help people. And yeah, once again, this is just the Popcorn King waving his scepter of destruction and punishment because we live in cities and areas that don't vote for him and don't like him because he's petty.
I mean, I think there's a lot of areas that don't like him.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't his approval rating like 12%?
Oh, yes.
Like, he is...
That never seems to make any difference when it comes to vote totals, however.
No, I mean, he's in a safe district. I mean, people in his district like him. So in that position, that's all that matters. You don't have to have statewide
right.
Approval.
Right.
But he is very, very low when it comes yeah. to statewide approval.
And he wins very low vote margins. I mean, it's just, yeah, he's...
All right.
That's
well,
the official word.
The official word from Greg Buck. All right. Well, when we come back, Dan Schaefer will be here to recombobulate. We'll ask him about the Brewers. If you have any texts or thoughts on the Brewers Stadium, we will also take that. 844-967-2789. We'll ask him about the special session that's coming tomorrow. We'll ask him about the legislation maps amendments from last week. Got a lot to talk about. Everything, everywhere, all at once. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News brief on this fifth day of the auto worker strike. Union members picketed at a plant in Toledo, Ohio.
We want to know what's happening with the other plants. We want promises, too, on transferring over to EV. So we don't want to be left behind in that.
The actors and writers strike continues. Meg James covers the entertainment industry for the Los Angeles Times.
Everyone is just exhausted. People have been tired of being out of work for 5 months. You know, people's tensions are high. People are worried that they're not going to be able to afford their homes.
The studios and writers will resume contract talks on Wednesday. President Biden told the United Nations General Assembly that the U.S. is standing with Ukraine in its defense against the Russian invaders.
An illegal war of conquest brought without provocation by Russia against its neighbor Ukraine. Like every nation in the world, the United States wants this war to end. No nation wants this war to end more than Ukraine.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We got Greg Bach on the board. Jane Mattenier, Mattenier is also here. And that music means it is time for Recombobulating with Dan Schaefer on Tuesdays. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing fabulous. We are tech trouble-free so far today, which we're very excited about. Knock on wood.
But words are hard.
And words are hard, but that's okay. So we're very happy. We're very happy to see you. And I referenced your tweet from last week as far as the chaos of Wisconsin politics, better explained as everything, everywhere, all at once.
I love that.
It's been wild.
It has been a news avalanche these last few days.
I feel it's like been,
I'm frankly a little discombobulated, Kristen.
I mean, I feel like I have very little grasp besides reading headlines on what's happening nationally right now, because I've been trying to keep up with what's happening in Wisconsin. But the stuff with McCarthy and impeachment, and I know a little bit about Boebert trying to give an HJ in a movie theater or in a theater.
Bobo, like, baby.
Say what you want. That was hot.
But for the most part, stuff that's happening at the national level, it's like, I don't have time for this because there is so much happening here. So the newest news, we'll quickly get your opinion on the Brewers news from yesterday, because I know you've mm-hmm. not only have thoughts about this, but you also you had one of your first, I think it was really one of your first guest posts was about a beer district. And so mm-hmm. you've been talking about this for a while as far as what could reimagine the stadium freeway, the beer district, the Brewers, how this symbiotic relationship can work. So at least with what the proposal was yesterday, feelings about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was kind of expected what was going to happen, that, you know, the initial proposal from Evers was just state money. Voss and company wanted there to be local dollars, you know, and I think that is so far the biggest problem with it, is that, you know, we just had this long debate over shared revenue. And just after we get Milwaukee on sound financial footing with this shared revenue proposal, you know, Mayor Johnson talking about it in his budget address this morning. Right after that, they're coming back for more money for the stadium to be pulled out of that shared revenue. I think that's a little bit frustrating, you know, and just the lack of aim for larger transformation for that area. I think one of the things that worked well about the Bucks arena deal was that it wasn't just about building the arena. It was about transforming a part of downtown Milwaukee and building the beer district and, you know, fostering all of these other different developments that we've seen on the west side of downtown that has made a real difference. And it is rippling out throughout the city and has, you know, really been a good investment. Like, not, you know, I'm not one of these people who said all arena investments are bad. You know, that's a point a lot of people can take, and it's a legitimate one. But I think you can be pragmatic about this, and you can get to a better solution that is going to be transformative for a region, and not just provide, you know, upgrade and maintenance for the stadium, but to have a larger impact on the city. And I think, you know, we're seeing a little bit of that reaction since the deal was proposed. Mayor Cavalier Johnson was pretty vocal in comments made yesterday about support for something like a beer district, which was something that we first wrote about at the Recombobulation Area. A guest column from Robin Palm there got a lot of positive attention. But, you know, yesterday, Rick Schlesinger from the Brewers was talking about they want to preserve tailgate culture. Don't want to mess with tailgate culture. They have more parking spots than there are at Disney World in Florida, and that can't be messed with. You know, 80 games a year, 80 home games a year, but, you know, another, 200 some days that those lots are empty. Can't mess with that tailgate culture, though. So I thought that was a little frustrating.
Well, why couldn't you have
both?
Well, yes. And have a lot or two that is for tailgating, and then reallocate some of this other space. I don't understand that.
Neither do I, Jane.
Well, they also have this, they also have an opportunity there right across 175 there. There's the Komatsu plant. Mm-hmm. They have since moved to, the Harbor District in Milwaukee. That plant is now vacant. So why not engage with them and talk about, you know, redeveloping that area into something else, or using this space, you know, around the Menominee River that they don't use at all, to create some sort of year-round space for people, whether it's an entertainment district, whether it's something specific to the game. Like, there's so many different creative approaches that we could take, and basically all they're doing is saying, give us $600 million for maintenance and upgrades. Like, that just doesn't fit when you're making that type of investment.
When you're trying to be, like, the opportunity to think outside the box instead of just doing more of the same.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. We're not going to change the city if we keep doing more of the same. Yeah.
There could be a wonderful mashup with the Potawatomi Casino and the Brewers in that whole area. You've got all that space, mm-hmm. I mean,
well, Pottawatomie, the Harley Museum, yeah. Like the, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there that people have not, they have not really seized. And I think if you think of this as a way to transform the west side of Milwaukee, of course, I'm going to advocate also in there for removing the stadium freeway, freeing up some area there.
You just want to get rid of all the roads, Dan Schaefer, all the roads.
He just wants to ride a horse.
I was going to say, bring back horses, bring back horse and buggies.
But one of the things you tweeted yesterday was, in one breath yesterday, the GOP lawmakers, or some of the GOP lawmakers, are going to support spending $600 million on a stadium. And likely tomorrow, they will gavel in and gavel out from spending any money on workforce-related policy initiatives, primarily childcare, paid leave. And that is a good point, I think, as far as where does this money, where do we want to put our priorities?
Hey, you show me one of those moms who's got a good RBI, I will talk.
What's your pitching speed, baby? Yeah. Come on, yeah. Pick it up a little bit.
My gosh, spring training's right around the corner.
Exactly. We'll work something out.
And so that is happening tomorrow. So, I mean, this was over a month that we knew that this special session was coming that was called by Governor Evers last month as far as... I think it's being labeled as workforce initiatives and trying to bolster our workforce with, and what am I missing there? So it's paid leave, childcare. What else are they potentially supposed to be talking about?
At UW-Madison, and some workforce development initiatives for people in the healthcare and education field as well. But I think that, you know, the highlight item is childcare and the funding for childcare accounts. And I think every expectation is that they are going to gavel in and gavel out, yeah, of this special session. And it's, I just really hate that as an approach. I really hate that, that has been normalized over the last 4 years, in, you know, this era of divided government that we have in Wisconsin, where the governor will call a special session and the Republicans will gavel in and gavel out in seconds. You know, that's not what we want as Wisconsinites. We want people to come and engage on the issues. Yeah. And I think this is such a big topic. You know, it was so maddening to the way that Republicans voted this out of the budget in a session at 2:30 in the morning. And I really have to commend Tony Evers for really going to bat for working families, going to bat for workforce. And it's just so frustrating that the inevitable brick wall that they're going to be running into is going to be the gavel in and gavel out. You know, if you want to make a difference for Wisconsinites, just have the conversation. If you don't want to fund childcare this way, make your argument. You know, yeah, it's not, you know, there are reasonable arguments to be made to not fund things. I happen to think it's a bad one. I think we have to be pragmatic about this. We have to, you know, look at the fact that, you know, between 25 and 50% of childcare providers in the state could close in within the next year without new funding like this. And not just be so ideologically rigid and say, well, this was pandemic era funding, so we're not going to continue any kind of pandemic, mm-hmm, area emergency funding.
And look at these bills we passed.
Just have the conversation.
Well, isn't that part of it, though, Dan, is they don't want to. They don't want to defend their positions. They stick their fingers in their ears, and it's la, 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 la. And they don't want to have to take a stand on anything. It's just, this is, nope, we're not doing it. We don't care what you want. Gavel in, gavel out. Bye-bye.
And that's the thing that I think I'm excited because we're going to have CJ Safer back tomorrow. And we were going to talk about this. And I think he's not a legislator. He's not a lawmaker, but he represents a conservative organization. And the argument for being what is the political move of why this, like, why do they continue to do this? Why won't they just have the argument? I don't know if he'll have an answer, but I feel like the opportunity to at least hear a rationale from someone who is not on the same aisle as all of us, it will be interesting. But I think I agree with you, Dan, and I think most people, and we asked this question last week, and I would love to, as we talk about everything that's been happening in the last week, Dan, when the rushed proposal for MAPS came out last week. And there was the political spin of it. I was like, oh, this is Iowa style. But there was like one glaring piece where it's like, well, but we can still amend it however we want. But there were amendments, and that I feel like has gotten less press and been less talked about, of what amendments were passed last Thursday night going into what the bill looks like now. It's still not perfect. There are some improvements. There may be some signs of negotiation. When we talk about Wisconsin government, I asked this question last week. Like, what do you think it's going to take as far as, like, whoever is going to be the bigger person? Like, I asked the question as far as, was it the right move for Governor Evers just to immediately say no and not at least have the conversation with Robin Voss? Granted, how much trust has been broken, but at least even call his bluff to be like, all right, how serious are you? Like, where do you think we're at as far as how we stop playing these games because no one trusts each other when it comes to our government?
That's a tough question. You know, I think it's going to take more than just one special session or one, you know, redistricting proposal or anything like that. I think it's going to, you know, there's been such a long-term breakdown in trust in state government. I think so much of that comes back to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the approach that he's taken as the longest serving Assembly Speaker in state in our state's history. And I think people will see the proposals that he brings forth, and there's always another shoe to drop every time he brings something forward. And I wrote about this last week at the Recombobulation area, where it was this Iowa style redistricting proposal that very carefully omitted very key portions of the Iowa model, and had a bipartisan response from people in Iowa saying, this is not the Iowa model.
Yeah.
So I think it's examples like that that continue to lead to that breakdown in trust. And it's just like, you know, maybe if he would have introduced the exact bill that Tony Evers introduced in 2021 on nonpartisan redistricting, now we're getting somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what was negotiated over years with Fair Maps advocates and trying to get people from both sides of the aisle engaged in nonpartisan redistricting. And there have been examples. There's, you know, there was another bill that didn't get a public hearing in the last session from Deb Andraka and Senator Jeff Smith. Bring back that bill. Have a public hearing on that. Rushing this through with no public hearing, with this Swiss cheese proposal that, like, you know, idiots like me can poke holes in so easily is not the solution.
And me and my little videos can break it down. So
burn.
Nice.
Although I did see, as a follow-up to that, I'm referencing Rick Essenberg calling my videos, you know,
little.
Quaint.
Yeah.
He did also go after Craig Gilbert, yeah. Also, who's one of the most objective, like, veteran political reporters in Wisconsin, saying the maps are rigged. And Rick Essenberg said, well, actually, all right, we got to take a break. Dan Schaefer will still be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly clear in the overnight. 57 degrees by sunrise. Light southeast winds. That sets us up for a sunny Wednesday. 84 degrees. South to southwest wind developing. By Wednesday night, could have some showers and thunderstorms. The low 59. Currently 59 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
As goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board, Jane Matinair, and Dan Schaefer, who we are recombobulating with because it is Tuesday between 10:30 and 11, and that's what we do here. And what we'll continue to do here, even when I'm gone next week. And so, Dan, we have a caller, actually. Bill from Econowalk, I think, has something to say about gaveling in and gaveling out. Bill, what do you have to say?
Oh, good morning. A great topic. By the way, a big question. We don't have to tolerate a child who is spoiled, who thinks they can control our government by pulling that. I think we ought to put them on notice. Next time you do that, we are going to deal with your lack of ability to represent the state of Wisconsin. They've broken laws. And I'll help you out right away. They take an oath of office to protect from foreign and domestic
enemies.
Problems. Enemies. Thank you very much. They also the 14th Amendment, Section 3, would make them even obsolete to run again. But we don't have enough Democrats that get in their face. The next time, if I was sitting in that room when that happened, said, sirs, you've gaveled out. You might have gaveled out of your position. We are going to work to remove you from your office because you're not following the rules of order for running a public office. You made a choice. Now you're going to have to deal with it. We should deal with it. Thanks so much for letting me rant. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
We always appreciate it, Bill.
Bill wins the Spicy Caller of the Week Award. We got a text from the 414 saying Evers should set up a special session twice a week.
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yes. Yes.
So that was actually something I wrote about in 2020 when Republicans were gaveling in and gaveling out of all of the different, you know, pandemic related special sessions that year, is that Governor Evers should just keep calling special sessions until they start to do their job. You know, I wonder if that's it's kind of a radical approach, but it so is gaveling in and gaveling out of a special session without having any conversation about it.
Yeah. Well, but they've just gotten away with this for so long. They just have. Life is good. We do what we want. We don't have to respond.
But were they doing this? Because this was before I got back in 2020. Like in 20, when Governor Evers took office in 2019, I guess it was really only 1 year before the pandemic. And that was all of the health orders were coming down. And it's like, do something. But what was 2019 like? Was this still a thing then?
Do you remember, Dan?
I do. So the first, because I wrote about this at the Recombobulation Area. The first time that they called a special session and gaveled in and gaveled out was in relation to gun violence prevention. So they called a special session, you know, they had the, it was kind of similar to this year where they had, you know, the budget talks and they, you know, got to the agreement and vetoed things out of the budget and blah, blah, blah. And kind of, you know, that was a year that saw a number of school shootings and things like that and mass shootings. And so Governor Evers called the special session in late 2019. And that was the first time that Robin Voss and Wisconsin Republicans took this radical approach of gaveling in and gaveling out. And I think, you know, since then, I believe it has happened somewhere around a dozen more times. I think a couple times that they've kind of gaveled in and just like quietly gaveled out several days later. I think that happened a couple times over the course of the pandemic. Only once has it actually produced, you know, a signed bill. I believe that was on unemployment insurance kind of post after the 2020 election. But you know, this is something that Wisconsin Republicans have done now. You know, it's somewhere around a dozen times on so many issues, on abortion, on voting rights, on, you know, pandemic efforts, public health. It's such a frustrating approach. I think this type of approach that we're seeing from Wisconsin Republicans is why they continue to lose in statewide elections. I don't know if there's any polling out there on these gavel in, gavel outs. I get the sense that people hate them. The Wisconsinites just want to see their leaders have the conversation. You know, if you disagree, fine. We can disagree without being disagreeable, but have the conversation. These are really important issues. You know, we talked when they had the 2:30 a.m. session on childcare. They didn't really say anything about why they were voting childcare counts out. You know, we had sessions last week on these other childcare bills that Republicans proposed, which at best get to fringe issues on the issues of childcare. So I think they're going to try and say that, oh, well, we tried to do something with these, you know, bills saying deregulating the way that 16-year-olds can care for toddlers and things like that. That's going to be their solution. Exactly.
Sorry.
And I think they're going to say, well, we passed these bills. We passed these bills through assembly. We did something, but that's just not even getting close to what the issue actually is. And I think, you know, we're really going to be staring down a crisis for working families in Wisconsin when, you know, as many as 25% to 50% of centers close as people continue to leave the workforce, as rates continue to rise for parents where it costs more than a mortgage payment, costs more than college tuition. This is going to be a real problem for Wisconsin going forward if we do nothing. And the childcare counts would stabilize the industry. It wouldn't solve the whole problem. But what's their other option? What's the other option, you know,
to deregulate?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
And I ultimately, though, because I always get conflicted about this in what their ultimate goal is. And it's like, well, we want to get women back in the house, back in the kitchen, back with their babies. On the flip side, nobody wants to work anymore. Everybody's lazy. Come on, what's wrong with you people? Which is it?
Well, they get to do nothing and then wrap it around personal responsibility and look like the heroes every single time.
It's always a game of heads I win, tails you lose when it comes to Wisconsin Republicans. Yep.
Regardless, I do wonder, as you were saying that, Dan, do you think that Charles Franklin and the Marquette Law School poll has a request line of things that we can ask them to please poll on?
If not, they should.
They should.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Charles, will you please, on the next poll on whether or not we should gavel in and gavel out and how the average Wisconsinite feels about it.
Love it.
Love it.
I always, every time there's a new poll, I annoy John Johnson from the Marquette poll, who's part of that, to leak me numbers. Maybe I'll start giving him requests for things to
request.
Poll out to.
Maybe he's like, all right,
a request
I guess
line.
You can't give me the numbers. Can I at least submit my my request for the next one?
A request line. I
blink
love
twice
it.
If I'm right.
All right, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. You should subscribe. You should subscribe for free. You should pay him because he does unbelievable work. Go check out the Recombobulation area. Dan Schaefer will be back even when I'm not next week. Thanks as always, buddy.
Thank you, Kristen.
Have a great day.
Take care.
When we come back, have you lost friends from having kids? Have you lost friends when your friends had kids? We're going to talk about it on the other side of the break. Stick around for the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.